work with a company called Lore International Institute. We're a professional development firm that specializes in executive coaching, in leadership development, and talent management consulting. We've been in business almost 20 years, and we work throughout the world and across all different industries. About 4 years ago, one of our business partners came to us with a really compelling proposition. Her name's Carol Emmett, and she is a senior partner with Russell Reynolds, which is an executive search firm, and she's in charge of their healthcare practice. Carol goes way back to the Carter administration as an expert on public health policy, and she noticed as an executive search consultant that there was a dearth of leadership candidates to fill positions in healthcare. And so she wanted to do something about it. So she came to us and said, let's do a leadership college so that we can prepare the next generation of leaders and also fill the candidate pool. So we thought that was a great idea. She had the network, we had the know-how. And so we combined forces, and in 2004, we introduced the California Health Leadership College with a cohort of 16 executives who were potential candidates for CEO from throughout the state of California. So my presentation today is to share with you what we consider some best practices in leadership development and lessons learned along the way. Typical approach to leadership development is very event-based, transitory, very skill building, knowledge sharing. We wanted to do something a little different. We wanted to capitalize on what the research shows about spaced repetition learning. So rather than have a single event, often in leadership development programs you'll see like a five-day event or maybe a series where people meet once a quarter. And instead what we wanted to do was have everybody meet more consistently over a longer period of time. So we set up a structure where the participants, who we call fellows, could meet once a month over the course of 10 months. And the reason why is what the research shows is that when you have that sort of consistency and give people an opportunity to go and apply the learning and then come back, discuss it, learn something new, go out and apply, come back, that you have much greater levels of retention and behavioral change than if you do a boot camp approach. So that's what we did. One of the interesting things is that the participants came from organizations who were paying tuition. So rather than having a single client that we had to serve with all sorts of expectations, we could use this as a mechanism to test out some of our own ideas and what we thought would work best to turn from, to turn it into transformational learning, something that really changed people for the long term. Jack Mesereau is a professor emeritus at Columbia University, and he's written extensively on adult education and transformational learning. And these are some of the things that he cites as critical success factors for transformation. Now, you could argue that some of these things are fundamental to adult education in general, but in particular, what we found is critical in working with executives is that opportunity for self-examination, which we do through 360 feedback, to create a safe environment where people can really test out new behaviors, where they can trust each other so they can challenge each other's, challenge thinking, challenge assumptions, and give feedback on behavior in the moment. And then also, a critical thing that we found is the ability to meet and interact with peers in similar situations so that they can commiserate and share best practices and get each other's input and advice. So it's been, what we decided to do is create a program that factors in these elements. So the structure was built around four columns, if you will. First, we wanted to have an intensive interpersonal interaction for the participants so that they could really get to know one another and go do a deeper dive rather than superficial leadership subjects, to really understand themselves, their operating styles, how they're perceived by others. And to do that, we had to set up an assessment process where that was very strong on feedback. So it started out with the assessment, very strong on feedback, and the feedback continued throughout the year. We wanted to supply the latest thought leadership and did so by providing what the latest that we could find in terms of articles, guest speakers, faculty, and books. And then finally, we wanted to be able to have the participants apply the learning in the context of a real-life business initiative so that it wasn't just a series of practices and short projects, but that they would choose something at the beginning of the whole series to work on throughout the year. So these are the elements that comprise the structure of the program, and I'm going to go into each one of these in more detail. So first of all, the faculty. It seems like it would be an easy task to pick, you know, a couple of facilitators. I mean, there's lots of good facilitators out there, and there's lots of people who have experience in healthcare. But it was no easy task because we found that to find someone, or actually two faculty for the program who had not only outstanding facilitation skills, depth and breadth of experience in healthcare, but also be an expert in leadership development and have the capability to be an executive coach was not easy. Luckily at LORE we have an associate network of about 350 people, and they have networks too. So through that network we were able to find two faculty who've been with us for the last 3 years and do an outstanding job of combining all of these different elements. So these two faculty, if a, like a faculty to student ratio of no more than 10 to 1, are with the fellows throughout the year, and they serve as counselor, mentor, consultant, teacher, coach, and ultimately friend, a really strong resource that people rely on throughout the year and then beyond as they go out and get their promotions. The other thing that's been really critical to the success of the program is guest speakers. So we have guest speakers from the industry and also outside of the industry. And the way we use them is often as dinner speakers or as part of the plenary program. And we coach them in advance. So when they come in, they're prepared to tell personal stories that relate to the topic of the month. So when I say personal stories, we get some really inspirational stories. You'd think they'd come in and talk about their biggest successes, but more often, they come in and talk about some personal failures where they've hit a bump in the road or fallen into a pothole or made the wrong decisions. And that's where the richest learning comes in, because you see these really powerful, successful executives and learn that their leadership journey has been filled with all sorts of roadblocks as well. So people can really relate to that, and it really enriches the quality of the program by hearing from people who've been there and been faced with similar challenges. Once people are accepted, and by the way, they're nominated by their CEOs, and they've got to have the potential to be CEO within the next 5 years or so. So upon acceptance, they embark on an assessment process. And so this consists of a one-on-one interview, and then we interview their ecosystem, so that's the people they work with, the people they interact with most, and their boss. They do an online assessment that's based on the NCHL leadership competencies, and then the Myers-Briggs type indicator to determine their personality type. So once they've gone through this assessment process, and it usually takes about a month to complete, a month to 6 weeks, then they have an in-person meeting with one of the coaches for a full debrief, and the coach guides them into starting to create their personal development plan. And part of that pre-work process also is meeting with the coach, the CEO, and the candidate to set goals for the year. So everyone is really clear on what this person is doing and what they want to accomplish through the program. And then we'll revisit those personal development plans often throughout the course of the year, revising them, tracking them, and making sure that people are making progress. Now, we meet once a month, and we meet on Thursday and Friday, and that's really by design, because we figured the earlier part of the week is usually so crammed and busy. Not that executives are necessarily winding down, but they just found it easier to get away towards the end of the week, and then they could combine their trip to the college with a weekend away sometimes, or just, you know, go straight home from that. And so we start on Thursday evenings with what we call a networking dinner. And so usually part of that is mandatory. It's considered part of the program. So we set the expectation early that people should, and we really want them to attend these dinners. And so what they're doing at the networking dinner, often we'll have a guest speaker. If we don't have a guest speaker, we'll do some sort of exercise or have a guided discussion. But mostly it's about just socializing with each other, having a glass of wine, a good dinner, and talking and sharing, you know, the progress of the month, the successes and challenges. And interestingly enough, what we found is the number one value that people get out of the program is this opportunity to network with their peers. Remember that these are people from throughout the state. There's a combination of public and private, and rural and urban. And so what's interesting is when you get all those people together, you know, the administrators from the private hospitals often have no idea what's going on in the public sector. And the people in the public hospitals often have, you know, misguided notions and judgments about the people in the private sector. So it's been really interesting to get those two forces together and break down some of those barriers. In the monthly classroom sessions, we meet on Fridays from about 8 o'clock until 3:30 in the afternoon. Incorporate a wide variety of learning methodologies. We have some really great films we use, some interactive simulations, some typical skill building and role play, minimal lecture, and lots of discussion. And one thing that we found that's different between training managers and developing leaders, especially at the executive level, is that the executives really want and need that time to just discuss what's on their mind, and to challenge each other's assumptions, and to challenge, frankly, to challenge the assumptions of the faculty, and really process and think through with their peers what they're going through. So we have built into the program the flexibility to provide that discussion and to change. So if one month, let's say this month we're doing innovation, and next month we're planning talent management. Well, if the group decides what they really need is some more work on execution, or they want to spend some more time on innovation, then we're going to change on a dime, and we'll change the program to fit what they need. So it's that ability to customize and be really flexible to their needs. That's one of the critical success factors. The other thing that's a little different than some leadership development programs that you may have attended or seen is that this is really focused on self-development and impact on others. So we spend a little bit of time on strategy and execution, a little bit of time on innovation. But for the most part, where we're focused is on building self-awareness, helping people understand their styles, to really examine the assumptions that they make, the paradigms that they have, so that they get a more holistic view of themselves, and especially the impact that they have on others and how others perceive them. Because the higher you go up in an organization, it becomes less and less about your technical ability and your individual contribution, and more about getting things done through others. Another element of the structure is the reading assignments. So we'll draw on Harvard Business Review, McKinsey, whatever articles that we can find, like Porter's latest work on reform in healthcare, and Christensen's work on disruptive innovations in healthcare, and Terry Bacon's work on what people want. So every month there is a significant reading assignment. It may be a section from a book, it may be an article, but so the participants often read it on the plane coming in, but there's an assignment associated with it and discussion associated with it. One of our alumni from our first year, Steve Moreau, was the chief hospital administrator from an organization in California. And he was subsequently, after the class, promoted to CEO in a new hospital. And he told me that the reading, he felt like the college, and especially the reading, gave him the credibility to move to that next step. Because before, he was just involved in the day-to-day firefighting of his job. And through this course, it gave him the luxury of being able to read articles, be exposed to books that he wouldn't normally be exposed to. So when he went to the interview, he was very well prepared with that background and thinking and the latest research and et cetera. It really gave him a lot of credibility. Another critical point of the program is action learning projects. And it's not just, you know, apply this back on the job this month, but at the beginning of the program, we ask people to work with their CEOs to identify a challenging business initiative that they can work on throughout the year. And we use this as a laboratory so that they can apply all the skills and concepts and try out new behaviors in the context of this business initiative. And the reason we have them work on it with the CEO is because we want to make sure that it's going to have organizational impact. We want to be able to measure the success of the college, not just by personal development, but impact on the organization in terms of improved operations or profitability or improved employee morale, better reputation, whatever it is. Because ultimately, it's the organizations that are paying tuition. So they've got to see the impact or we're out of business. One of the difficult aspects of this type of project is holding people accountable. Because these are really busy executives, and if no one's holding them accountable, it's all too easy to let it slip and say, yeah, I didn't have time to try that out. And if you can't try out the behavior and reflect on it, then the likelihood of transformation is minimal. So we thought long and hard about how can we hold people accountable. And one thing we did is we set expectations in the very first meeting to tell people that we expect them to do the assignments, we expect them to try these things out. And this may seem superficial, but we supplied each person with a beautiful leather-bound journal during the first meeting. And part of the assignment is to try out the behavior and then reflect on the results, not only what happened, but also on the thoughts and feelings associated with trying out something new. And then they come back the next month and they share the results with the class and with their implementation groups. And that's gone a long way towards driving behavioral change. The other thing that we do is we have this big ledger that looks very official, like something from Harry Potter or something. And so when they come in on Thursday evenings, the first thing we ask them to do is to write down their results and progress and challenges for the month in the ledger, so that at the end of the year we have a journal of everybody's progress throughout the year. And it's really psychologically very motivating to see where they started and how they're progressing throughout the year. As part of that, we have implementation teams, and those implementation teams are groups of usually about 5 people, and they're there to meet monthly right before dinner so that they can provide feedback and, again, hold each other accountable, share successes, share challenges, and basically to learn from each other. Then we have some opportunities for continuous learning. We have a website that has some discussion rooms, reading lists, and we have graduates who come and serve as guest speakers, an annual alumni meeting with a panel discussion, and the opportunity to cascade the learning throughout the organization through work with Lore. So the results that we're getting, measurable and sustainable behavioral change for the organizations, we're getting reports back from the organizations of improved productivity, improved morale, greater retention, executives who are more focused on not only strategy development, but execution and certainly better alignment between the executive and their team. So just in summary, things to remember. You got to create a sense of importance, and we do that by nomination process and CEO involvement. It starts with feedback, so that 360-degree feedback session is what enables them to focus on what they need to do. Holding short sessions spread out over time for that spaced repetition learning. Lots of opportunity for networking. And that enables a trust-based environment so we can really push people's thinking, challenge their assumptions, give them real-time feedback, and provide a vehicle for practice and application. So if I want to leave you with one thing, it's this. This seems really kind of complicated, and it is. And we've learned a lot over the 4 years that we've been in operation. But the bottom line is, it's doable with a little planning, a little forethought, and a lot of discipline. You can do it, and it will make a huge difference in your learning and development efforts. Questions? Yes, sir. How long is the program? It lasts for 10 sessions, so we start in March and end in December. So they meet once a month for 10 months. The tuition is $28,000. So the private institutions are typically going to pay that directly, and then we also have a scholarship set up by the California Healthcare Foundation. And that provides the opportunity for the underserved organizations to participate. Anyone else? The slides are available on the AFA website, and they're downloadable. And then for anyone who's interested, I've left a one-page flyer on the college concept and then a couple of brochures on what LOAR does. Yeah. Thank you. That's from Noel Tishy. It stands for Teachable Point of View. The other one I think I used was NCHL, and that's the National Center for Healthcare Leadership. Anyone else? We have, at this point, no agencies participate, but public and rural institutions, clinics and hospitals are participating. And there's no reason why we couldn't adjust the format and do something specific for public healthcare agencies with, you know, potentially the same structure, but organize it a little bit differently so it's more cost effective. But we found great success in using the foundation for scholarship money. Right now it's just in California. However, we're actively involved in setting something up in New England and also in early discussions about the Pacific Northwest and the Desert Southwest. So eventually we'd love to see this in every region of the country.